Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Hoping you and those you care about are safe during this wild time around the world. Thanks a lot for checking in. If you're lucky enough to still have a job, working from home has really become the way to go right now, and that includes the media business. If you're working on radio, a lot of home studios, and even those on television are working from home. Dennis O'Donnell from KPIX 5 CBS in San Francisco is one of those. He's working from his home in Auburn. How do you like it so far?
I enjoy it, actually. I think it's a challenge, especially if you're a sportscaster right now, because there's no sports. So you try and be creative and a little bit of fun at the same time. You know, during a newscast right now, Dave, you're before I come on, national news, 30 minutes of corona deaths, people being exposed, the lousy economy is tanking, your 401ks are reduced significantly. So when the sportscast comes on about 6:25, we try and lighten it up a little bit. And sometimes you succeed, and sometimes you fail. But that's the risk of what we're trying to do right now. But I, you know, if I can bring a smile to somebody's face on the couch after a day of bad news, I feel I succeeded.
I think fishing with your wife is a success.
And, you know, when I'm on remote, technically, union-wise, I have to shoot my own stuff. So I have my wife or my son out there just making sure that nothing goes awry without touching the equipment. For instance, last night, the weather wasn't great, but we began our sportscast and suddenly the storm comes down. Now, the equipment is not covered. We're talking about a camera, a light, a remote a box that sends the signal back to San Francisco. This is all exposed. And it started pouring and then hailing and then snowing. And my wife is trying to cover all this up without creating a union violation and catching the camera. So if you could have seen what was going on behind the scenes, it was better than the sportscast itself.
Hey, can't there be some kind of waiving of the union policies in a situation like that?
I think it's evolving, Dave. I think you want to protect everybody's occupation, but this is uncharted territory. As far as I know, I'm the only talent doing every day on remote. So I think it's evolving. You want to show other stuff behind you. Utilizing pans and tilts and zooms and wide shots, but I'm pretty cognizant of what the rules are and what they are not. So I'm trying to toe the line in a responsible way.
You've told me about that Auburn place before, so I actually get to see it on camera. That's pretty nice. How long have you had that place?
We had a little 5-acre ranch before that, my mother's place, and she was about 80, got to be too much. 5 acres is a lot of work, Dave. We had the tractors, we had all the tools that go to taking care of 5 acres, but she got up there a little bit. So we knew about this place, Lake of the Pines. It's a gated community with a private lake, great fishing, great golfing. I knew there was a place where I didn't have to work as much. So we moved here in 2004, and we've had it ever since. We love it. Good escape. So, Dave, I live in a condo in San Francisco, right? We're on the 6th floor at the corner of Sacramento and Van Ness. And as you know, Van Ness has been undergoing construction for the last several years and will continue to do so. It's so loud in San Francisco. So this is sort of an escape for us from the hustle and bustle and the noise of San Francisco.
Hey, what about, Dennis, the fact that I know that TV job isn't always conducive to a great family life because you're always out every evening. You're going to sporting events, you know, quite often on the weekends. It's tough on families. We know some folks that their marriages haven't made it because they're you know, their guy's a sports announcer or a news anchor. Do you feel like this getting a chance to work at home gives you an opportunity to connect with family a little bit?
Well, you bring up a great point. I lived in Walnut Creek, and just before I started at Channel 5, I moved to San Francisco, got married, had two kids, and because I moved to San Francisco, I'm about 5 minutes from work, so I can go home. I made it a practice to go home every night and have dinner and then go back to work for the late news. I think the family is your top priority and the job is second. And I know not a lot of people have that luxury of being able to do that. Like Paul Dianno, our former weather person who's now in Chicago, he was commuting from Walnut Creek to San Francisco. And, you know, the traffic is such that you can't go back in between shows. He would have like 15 minutes with the family, got to get back after your dinner break. So family is the top priority. And being up here in Auburn with my family is it's what this coronavirus has done, I think, is we got back to basics. We're all cooped up in the same house. We do things together. Last night, we watched Arthur together. You know, the movie, and the kids have seen it. We play cornhole. We cook breakfast together. So in a funny way, it's a good bonding experience during this terrible time.
Do you have any guilty binge-watching shows?
You know, yes. I'm watching The Man in the High Castle. Believe it or not, I'm way behind the times in terms of all these shows and binge watching. I really don't watch a lot of TV, but I just finished The Sopranos, if you can believe that.
How long ago? Really? Have you heard of Gone with the Wind?
Actually, Gone with the Wind is one of my top five movies. I've read the book, but yes, I have heard of Gone with the Wind.
A couple of shows you
hear, I don't give a damn.
Hey, Dennis, a couple that you may be interested in: Catastrophe, which is a show I believe on Amazon Prime, although more adult. And then What If, which is a Renee Zellweger drama that I believe are like 58-minute episodes and, you know, maybe 8-10 episodes for the season.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Renee Zellweger, dating back to her and Tom Cruise and Lee Steinberg's adaptation of the movie, The Agent. And I'm a big fan. What's the name of that again?
What If. She's evil in this, though. She's like Cruella DeVille.
With that smile, she's evil? Does she pull it off?
Oh, absolutely. She's this venture capitalist who's absolutely ruthless with zero ethics, and it's really compelling TV.
I'll write it down. I had a big crush on Renee Zellweger way back when.
Oh, yeah. She's always going to be the sweet girl in Jerry Maguire, but in this, just takes it to a whole new level. Super actor.
I'll write it down. It's on my list, Dave.
Hey, DOD, tell me about this gig at San Francisco State. We haven't spoken about it, and it's on the internet, so I'm not, you know, breaking a secret, but getting into teaching as a professor.
It's back to the grassroots. It's so enjoyable, Dave. Marty Gonzalez, my former colleague at Channel 4, still does the weekend news. He called me, and he was retiring. He said, they need somebody to teach sports reporting. I said, I'll give it a shot. And the hardest part, being a new teacher, is I created my own syllabus because the other one was dated. As you know, technology has changed to the extent where you got to be up to date, cutting edge. And so the hard part was establishing a whole new syllabus. But once I got that done, I tell you what, when you go to class in the morning and you see ambitious, intelligent young people who want to get in our industry, I found they are actually invigorating me. I walked out of San Francisco State after class every time feeling rejuvenated about what I do. And in my opinion, this business is in trouble a little bit because the pay scale is different. And I encourage people to get in journalism because, in my opinion, this is the foundation of our democracy. It's checks and balances. And I know that the business has changed. When I started, there was four TV stations, no internet, no ESPN. Everything was came out of the papers. It's evolved tremendously, but I encourage people to get in the business, and teaching has been a real eye-opener for me.
There's that whole thing about younger and cheaper, so I guess that would mean there are opportunities for young folks coming out of school that maybe didn't exist, where Dennis O'Donnell had to go pay some dues. Maybe a kid could get a job now coming out of school because they do want young and not paying them a lot.
Well, absolutely. I think there are more job opportunities in our business than there have ever been. There was an axiom that you had to leave the big market, or you leave college and go to a small market, you make your mistakes, get your feet wet, learn the lessons of the business, and slowly and gradually move your way up. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I wouldn't discourage that, but there are more opportunities in a major market for young broadcasters, just because they're accepting more inexperienced people. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing, Dave, but it's available. If, for instance, I used to love hiring interns. I was in charge of the internship program at KROM, and I love it. It was my form of teaching. And many people in this business came through the Cron Sports internship program and moved on to other avenues in the business. I'm proud of that. But to your point, I think there's more opportunities than ever before.
Did they go from that internship program to moving to San Luis Obispo or Flagstaff, or were they doing it around here?
Your internship program at KROM.
After they finished the internship program, though, getting jobs, did they have to go to Flagstaff, or did they do it around here?
Well, it depends. If they wanted to be a producer and they were a good intern, I would start giving people a few hours now and then. Learn how to write, learn how to cut video, learn how to find a story, go out and get some post-game comment. If they were good, they can open the door in a major market to become a production assistant, field producer, and eventually producer. That's what I did. And like I say, you're throwing it in the frying pan a little bit, but eventually you go. And other people went to small markets and became talent. A lot of them I still know. I'm proud of that legacy.
Take me back to the days, Dennis, when you weren't so eager and you refused to play punk rock and you created a contest for Rolling Stone tickets that the station didn't have. What is that about? I saw the anecdote in an article about you going to SF State.
Yeah, that was true. I got my first opportunity to be a DJ. It was a Friday night. There's nobody in the station. And our format was punk rock radio. And I'm sitting in this radio studio, surrounded by the era of rock and roll from the 1970s, which is my era, right? So I said, I'm going to break format. I started playing Boston, the Rolling Stones, Leonard Skinner, Frampton Comes Alive. I started playing all that, and the Rolling Stones were coming to Candlestick Park, and I wanted to see if anybody was actually listening to the radio station. So I offered up four tickets to the Rolling Stones with a limousine ride, and nobody called. Nobody called. And that Monday, I got into the sports office. We had a radio station sports office, and I got called in to the news director's office. And he said, first of all, you never, ever change format. Second of all, what if somebody had actually called for the Rolling Stones tickets? I said, I'm sorry. I just gave them away to caller three.
Yes. Oh, like a good DJ.
Yeah. You know, it was is something I shouldn't have done, changing formats, but it's a great college story.
I remember back when Mancow was working in San Francisco, and you mentioned kind of one of your stunts, but he was famous for shutting down the traffic on the bridge back in the early 90s when he had an intern getting a haircut. Do you remember that? Back when Bill Clinton got a haircut at LAX, so Mancow wanted to make a mockery of that and stop the traffic on the bridge.
Yeah, fortunately, giving away four fake Rolling Stones tickets did not stop traffic. I would have been furious if I was one of the folks in that traffic.
I actually, at that time, was working overnight at that station, and after a stint of being his producer, and I just remember, by the end of that day, everybody in America knew who that guy was. And he used that as a springboard. A few months later, was working in Chicago, making about $3 million a year.
Did he get fired for that? Doing that?
He got suspended, and the station was fined $1 million. And having to pay the bridge tolls, I think, for an entire day for commuters.
And it might have been worth the national publicity for the station and Mancow. As you mentioned, he's making $3 million or was making $3 million. Good move on his part.
Yeah, he had a great career.
Recommend it.
Hey, Dennis, who were the guys that you were looking at coming up saying, gosh, I really, and obviously you worked with Gary Radnish, and he, I think, has been maybe the gold standard over the last 30 years of Bay Area sports anchors. But who are the people that you looked at coming up saying, you know, I really admire him, and that's why I want to do this?
Wayne Walker had easily the most clean, thorough, comprehensive sportscast in the market, I thought. And I know who was behind Wayne. It was Arto Lugage and Steve Kroner. Good writers. The video was always very clean. And as a young kid, I was actually cognizant of how clean the shows were, how well produced they were, how there's no nonsense to the shows, really, unless they did a theme night. But you've got to remember, Dave, back then, there was no ESPN. You got your information from a local sportscast and by reading sports pages or listening to the sports talk radio. There was no other avenue for information. So Wayne's show, I thought, was the best. Gary Park, I remember, did a nightly horse race at the end. And here's the final stretch at Golden Gate Field. I like Gary Park. He came on a little earlier, but Wayne Walker was the guy I grew up watching. And you know, I could never fill his chair, but I've been at KPIX for 20 years, and Wayne Walker was there for 20 years. So I'm so honored to be in the same seat that Wayne filled for so many years.
I can't believe you've been there that long. That's crazy.
I'm an old man.
Oh, no, but well preserved. Very well preserved. Hey, just a sports take. I saw that you said that the A's are coming off their back-to-back 97 win seasons. World Series or bust? Seriously?
Well, the bar is raised. That's the good thing. I made a little hyperbole there, but as you know, they've been eliminated from the wild card in back-to-back seasons. And so the good news is that expectations are much higher, both within the team and within the fan base. And that's the good thing. So I think clearly they got to get past the wild card and certainly into the American League Championship Series. So World Series would be great, but they're not going to sell everybody like Charlie Finley did in the 1970s if they don't make it. But, you know, I spent a few days with the Oakland A's down at spring training before the virus hit. It was shut down. But I so enjoy the Oakland A's, the people, the organization. I sat down with Ricky Henderson and Dave Stewart, imparting their wisdom on the younger players. I just get the sense, Dave, that this is a very talented group, a very confident group with one of the best managers in baseball. So I feel, I don't think the World Series is out of the realm of possibility for the A's.
Gosh, in your best case scenario, when do we start playing baseball or playing anything?
I'm here in mid-July, but I don't think anybody can make any realistic projections on a virus that we've never seen before. So I think timetables right now are a little premature for anybody, whether you're going back to work or whether schools are going to be reopened, opening day, NFL. I would put all those projections on the table for now.
I saw a study from some guy in San Diego. He said that if we keep doing our social distancing, this is in San Diego, that the disease would only double once every 6 days, which is, to me, is crazy. And then if we don't do it as well as we should, it would be every 3 days, the number of cases doubling, which I think is just bizarre. And that's putting us in this situation we're in now with our medical system being overrun.
Gets back to the original question about me doing these shows from Auburn. I'm just not exposed to anybody. Nobody's exposed to me. And I feel like I've been fairly responsible in that regard. And it's interesting because my producer for game day on Sunday night, Brian Stites, just asked, hey, are you coming in for game day on Sunday or are you going to do it from Auburn? And I'm going to ask the news director and my assistant news director later today about their advice. But I think once you start, you might as well stay away from everybody. What's the point of going back to a TV station where you're exposing everybody and they're exposed to you? If you can, you know, Dave, if you can do it technically. And the one thing about this virus is I spoke about the virtue of being close to your family again. But the other thing is technically we've moved so far in broadcasting and what you're doing and what we're talking on right now to my kids doing online classes. I know that existed before, but I think we're perfecting the ability to communicate technically online and on camera.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The shows have looked really clean. You should be proud of what your staff is doing.
Every once in a while says, hey, learn how, somebody will say, learn how to focus your camera, man. And I remind them, there is no cameraman.
So what do you do without the teleprompter then?
What's that?
What do you do without the teleprompter? Because I know you have your phone handy and occasionally you peek at it. But, you know, in the TV station, we've got the teleprompter to look at, you know, for the script or whatever. You don't have that there at home, do you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I get my scripts via my iPhone and I read them off of that. Last night, Dave, I'm on the dock. The rain starts coming down right before the snow. And the rain is hitting all the equipment I told you about. It's also hitting my phone. I can't scroll up to read the scripts. I'm trying to think in my mind what's in the show. I started ad-libbing the whole thing. So we had a meltdown in the 6 o'clock yesterday, but people like Crash and Burn, so they liked last night's show.
Do you feel like it helps you become a better broadcaster because you're having to, you know, think on the fly and work with crisis?
Yeah, there was
to work on your ad lib skills.
You remember Bay TV, right?
Oh, totally.
So Bay TV, we had a talk show up in Bay TV where you just took phone calls. And that was great experience because it was impromptu, you know, ad lib, think on your feet. So I carried a lot of lessons from that into what I do today. And it's really helpful. And I feel like I can get through, you know, I'm only talking about three and a half minute sportscast. I think for a news person where you got to be serious, you got to be factual, you got to have all the things in order. I think it might be a little more risky, but like I say, I'm doing sports. It's a fun part of the show. If it blows up in your face, even better.
I just got a text, by the way, Dennis, sports. Curly Neal just passed away from the Globetrotters.
Wow, that's a shame. Anything to do with coronavirus?
Oh, gosh, I have to check on that. I just saw that he passed away. You talk about going back to your childhood, because the Globetrotters were on the Wide World of Sports, you know, performing all over the world in Africa. So, you know, him, Meadowlark, you know, some great memories of watching basketball back in the day.
I had Curly Neal in studio one time, and he's not just a great basketball player. He's a great person, and he's a great showman and a great personality. So it was a magical moment for me to interview Curly in studio, because I saw the Globetrotters play in their heyday. And they were such an entertaining group of guys. In New Jersey, where were the Generals? Who they beat
Washington,
every time?
Washington Generals. Washington.
Washington General. I'm thinking of Herschel Walker and Donald Trump's New Jersey Generals.
from the USFL.
Yeah, exactly.
No cause of death, just the 77 passed away in Houston.
Okay. All right. Thanks for passing that along.
No problem. I'd really to put a little wet blanket on our fun conversation. Mm-hmm. Hey, what, Dennis, do you miss that's come up? Because when we all got sequestered, we said, okay, there's pharmacies, there's grocery stores, there's gas stations. We need those. Then there's things that come up like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to go without going to the gym or this. Is there something that's popped up to you that, man, this is a service or a place I can't go that I really need?
Yeah, I think we took a lot of things for granted. I went to the you're a workout fiend. I follow you on Facebook. You're in great shape. You have some interesting exercises, but a lot of stuff you do, Dave, I think you can do at home. I go to the Elks Lodge every day. There's a great gym down at Union Square, and I would work out religiously, either lifting weights or cardio. But we're getting creative right now in terms of working out. Other things, restaurants, movie theater, you know, everything that you could rely on for entertainment or going out is non-existent. But like I said earlier, what I notice about stores, Dave, is it's eggs are hard to find, right? And I got thinking about that a couple days ago, that people are cooking breakfast again. Life has slowed down a little bit. You're getting back to the grassroots, the basics of life in general. And it's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. You have to cook your own dinner because restaurants are closed. You can cook healthy. So I think... I find the positive. I'm trying to find the positive in a really tragic situation. And I think there are a lot of positive things to find if you look hard enough.
Well, certainly you can take this time to get fitter, get smarter with reading, or, you know, the quality time with your family. Have you had a toilet paper crisis yet, like a lot of folks?
We didn't, because we were well stored here in Auburn, and then as the days go by, the stores were able to get by with, you know, the stores have one roll a piece, or one package a piece. So that is not a tragedy in the O'Donnell household.
I had to actually ship a six pack to my son in Southern California, UPS.
Oh, no way. You're lucky it didn't get ripped off.
Oh, I know. It's like gold nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to see Dennis, and we talked about it off air before and after, since we're sequestered, and maybe it'll be another 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You can't see your hair cutter, and you've got great hair. So tell me about this first cut. When's it going to happen, and how she's going to pull this off?
Oh, it already happened. My wife, you need a haircut. So a couple days ago, she whipped out a pair of scissors. We have an actual hair shaving kit, and she did her thing. And I have to say, she did a really good job. I saved, $35 or so. And it was presentable, Dave. I can't complain. I was actually impressed. The problem is she's going to have to do it even when the virus is over.
So. No, I thought you need some real training to do that. I'm surprised that it looks that good, because I was anticipating that, Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, put the bowl on your head kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some haircuts out there that are not conducive to home cutting. Mine is not one of them. But like she told me, my wife told me, she went to Chico State. And she told me she used to cut people's hair in college. So she had some prior experience. Fortunately, it wasn't her first.
You've got a good one in a lot of ways then. I mean, a good wife and she does hair. That's amazing.
Yeah. And she actually caught a fish right before our sportscast yesterday. She can fish. She can cut hair. But she can't cook, Dave. I tell people, when my wife cooks at our house, we pray after dinner.
No, well, who does the cooking then? Nobody?
No, I do. I love to be in the kitchen. And in fact, I was cooking biscuits and gravy just before we started this podcast.
What's your favorite go-to dish?
I'll take a chicken breast, slice it in half, pound it down, right? Bread it. Sear it on the frying pan, put it in the oven with white wine and capers, and crush a little lemon over the top. That is fantastic. And one chicken breast will make four of those pieces of chicken when you pound them down. So it's a great dish. It's definitely my go-to. Now, in college, I did a thing called Taco Surprise, which my wife despises the idea, but she loves the food. It's ground beef, right? Taco flavoring, add water, mac and cheese, a can of corn, and onion, and stir it around, and you have dinner.
What made you think of that crap all put together?
Come on, man. You've been in college. You know what you got to do. It's either top ramen or Taco Surprise, and I'll take my Taco Surprise every time.
So I'll go back to your chicken breast as my preferred Dennis O'Donnell dish.
Probably healthier.
Hey, any idea how long you're going to be stuck up there? Excuse me, loving life in Auburn.
I'm going to call the news director today and ask him what if what we're doing works. Is he satisfied? Or should I come back to the station? So you might see me in the station on Sunday night for game day, and thereafter, it depends on his call. I have the equipment. So as long as I have the equipment, I can be here for the next 2 years.
No, you sound like you got a good thing going up there. So you should enjoy the ride. This is awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's fantastic. We're very fortunate, Dave, and I thank my mother. People think you make a ton of money in the industry. We wouldn't have this place if it was not for my mom.
Yeah, it's a blessing. Hey, Dennis, you've been a friend for a real long time, mentor, great broadcaster, but I want our audience to know this is a good dude. Really thank you for your time today and over the years.
Hey, conversely, Dave, I'd like to, you're one of the most resourceful people in the business. You know, you do play-by-play. You filled in for us at Channel 5. You're kind of a Swiss Army knife, a jack of all trades, talented guy, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Dennis, I haven't taken that off my LinkedIn yet because you never told me I would never come back. So I'm still having that as current. Is that cool?
Was it James Bond? Never say never.
I'm putting that. Our audience knows someday I'll return. Hey, you're the man, Dennis. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great day. Stay safe.
You can follow Dennis O'Donnell on Twitter at Dennis, KPIX. The executive producer of the podcast is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and iHeartMedia. We appreciate you so much for listening. Your positive feedback and comments mean a lot. Thanks again. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next time.